You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Relationship Talk on 702
with Clement and the experts.
And today we are exploring something called sensate focus therapy. The idea behind this kind of therapy is that it allows the couple to relax and be mindful of sensual touching experience without being weighed down by preconceived ideas of what should happen, right? So you are petting, you are massaging, you've got those intimate touches, foreplay, but you're not thinking about orgasm. So you're not focused on the end result, right? And I want us to talk about how it helps create or even increase the connection between you and your partner, because you then get to know each other's bodies better. It helps you identify the different sensual zones on your body and to become more self-aware. So if you have experienced sensate focus therapy, I'd like to hear from you on 011-883-0702. For a lot of couples, sex is always a routine. Like, they know what's going to happen. Oh, we're going to kiss, and then we're going to do this. We're going to go into bed, and then we're going to position ourselves this way, and then it gets boring down the line. And that's an experience. That's an experience for some couples. And this is another way to do things to increase that connection, but also make sure that you're exploring your intimacy with your partner without thinking about an orgasmic experience, without thinking about, the end result is this, or it's got to be penetrative sex. So we've got Nu Davidson, who is a sex educator and couples intimacy coach, who understands this better than many of us, who's going to guide us through this discussion. But I want to hear what your experiences are. If you've experienced it, give me a call. If you have a partner who you're struggling to connect with, who's struggling to understand your body, you're struggling to understand their body, give us a call, and maybe you will find out how you can use sensate focus, right, to try and fix that is missing in your intimacy. 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Nu Davidson, thank you so much for making time. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Clement. Always a pleasure being on air with you. I hope you're well.
I'm good. So let's start by explaining what this kind of therapy is. How does it work? You understand this better than us.
Absolutely. So I loved your intro, and it was very close to on point. So there is a difference that I want to highlight. There is sensate focus therapy, and then there is sensory play. So what you were describing was very much along the lines of sensory play, which is they're very, very similar. But sensory play is a more sensual experience. It's really like harnessing and dropping into the sensation.
Mm.
Whereas sensate focus is a therapeutic technique, so can be done in conjunction and would be recommended to do with a qualified and trained therapist.
Mm.
And it's really to resolve sexual dysfunctions, premature ejaculation, or obviously any sexual dysfunction in not being able to perform, or for many people who are needing to reframe what sex is for them and to get back into a pleasurable state post a trauma or something as such. So that's why we say sensate focus is great to be working with a professional, because it is a desensitization technique that helps remap what sensations are with no expectation. So the point of sensate focus is really to experience sensations in a non-demand manner with no objective of having pleasure on the other side of it. It's not about reaching pleasure. It is not about orgasm. It is not about performance. It is merely about a mindful practice that you are able to drop in and reframe with temperature, texture, and pressure which we can obviously dive in further.
That's interesting. And so what kind, so take us through the technique. So if you are going through this sensate focus therapy, what are you doing? Where are you touching? Where are you not touching?
So, so let's dial it right back. So this sensate focus was actually created and developed by Masters and Johnsons in the early 1950s to 1990. Have you ever seen the Masters of Sex series?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, so that's a good one for anyone listening who's interested in understanding the origin of the really profound work that Masters and Johnson created. And they kind of came up with sensate focus. And sensate focus is really about getting in touch with one's senses to reduce spectatoring and reach neutrality, right? Because we have this idea that we do get stuck in our heads, and it's about performance and orgasm and goal, and that can create a lot of anxiety and performance anxiety, which then obviously can then create a lot of sexual dysfunction with around erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation or too much anxiety around performance, therefore resulting in no pleasure or no orgasm at all. So sensate focus takes this completely out. And what it does is it completely takes the demand or the expectation out. It would be done on an individual. So an individual can do this first and foremost with themselves, as well as then integrating it into their relationship. An estimated, I think it is 9 to 15 sessions with a professional is what is required to have a successful result. It is a short session, so it's short and impactful, usually around about 5 to 15 minutes of doing this practice. Now, what this practice looks like, and it is not a sexual and sensual practice. That is very different to sensory play, which we can get into in a bit. But it is about, so you can wear underwear, you can wear clothing, obviously as minimal clothing as ideal as possible, whatever you're feeling comfortable with. Covering your genitalia, because your genitalia have nothing to do with this practice. It is completely not about, it is not about performance and not about pleasure in that way. What it is dropping into the mind and creating a mindfulness practice that really reconnects you with your body and becoming highly attuned and aware of your senses. So the three senses that you use in sensate focus is temperature, which is hot, cold, warm, texture, which is smooth, rough, etc., and pressure, hard, soft, firm, light. And really what that's doing is exploring across the body with all three of those, temperature, texture, and pressure, to see what does happen for you. What do you like? What don't you like? What sensations come up? Mm. And really becoming aware of even what thoughts come up. For some people, it gets super uncomfortable. For some, it's, you know, often we deal with uncomfortable situations in a humorous manner. Where is that coming from? What is happening? And it's really encouraging, and this practice is so profound in becoming aware of what that sensation brings up for you, so that can be addressed. Reframing what feels good, what sensations do come up, what thoughts do come up, what does that feel like for you? And it has nothing to do with your partner. It is purely a personal experience. So your partner who is facilitating this is merely holding space for you to experience that. And it helps couples drop into a more depthful, connective space where, for any couples who want to enhance their sexual intimacy and expand their sexual repertoire beyond what we currently know our repertoire to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that might be for the individual.
Okay, so just for clarity then, so when you're saying it's all about the individual, I'm trying to understand that. So would you speak with your partner and say, okay, like, I am the receiver now of the sensate focus and the focus is going to be on me? Or can it be a thing where both of you are touching each other, you are focusing on the breathing technique, so it becomes a mutual exercise, as opposed to I'm sitting here or lying down and I am receiving this attention and this sensate focus from my partner. How does it work?
Yes, so exactly. So this is for any individual or couple who are struggling with any sexual dysfunction or problems with sexual connection. And what this is you have a receiver and a giver. The receiver is the one who is receiving the touch of temperature, texture, and pressure. They are experiencing and dropping into the sensations, and seeing what comes up for them in that process. Then the giver is the person who is facilitating and holding space for that partner. So it does sound quite clinical, and that's because it kind of is. It's a practice. It's a therapeutic technique. It is about creating a space and a container for your partner to experience that with no, with no demand on the other side. There's no expectation. You are holding space for that, for your partner to see what is it for them. And then obviously you can rotate and vice versa. You're booking that time. So you're setting intentional space for that. You are saying, okay, I would like to go and try some sensate focus now. Is this an appropriate space for that? Making sure that there are no interruptions, because you do want to be able to really block out 5 to 15 minutes where you are uninterrupted. So no phones, no technology, no kids. And a space where you're allowed to really be. It's a meditative state. It is a mindfulness practice.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick break. And when you come back, if you've got questions around sensate focus therapy, I'm going to take them. If you want to share your experience around that, 011-883-0702. You can send me your WhatsApp voice notes as well on 072-702-1702.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatella.
It's 21 minutes after 11 o'clock. It's our relationship feature, and we are this morning discussing sensate focus therapy. We can talk about sensory play as well. I see some of you are responding to that as well on the WhatsApp line, and I'll go to those WhatsApp shortly. What happens if the receiver is responding because they feel the pleasure? Yes, the idea is not to, you're moving away even from parts of the body that would somehow lead to whether penetration or to an orgasm. But what happens if the receiver of this sensate focus therapy then responds in a way and they feel, oh, this is so pleasurable, the way that you touch me? I mean, does that mean it's failing, or is it okay for there to be that response?
Absolutely. That is most certainly a good result, because then it's really indicating to that individual that they can connect to their senses, and that that is what is pleasurable to them. Therefore, bringing them back to the sensations without the demand, meaning that if you then become aware and alleviate yourself of the pressure of end results. So a lot of people who experience sexual dysfunctions or sexual disconnect, it's because we have a tremendous amount, obviously there's a variety and a plethora of different reasons, but it's a large majority of people, because there is an anxiety attached to it. So it can be performance anxiety. It can be goal-orientated anxiety, as in like, I have to orgasm, and this is the goal, and this is what I have to do, and this is what it means. This completely removes that. So by feeling pleasure and becoming aware of that is fantastic, because it takes that pressure off and allows you to truly drop into the body and feel the sensation. So becoming aware of that is fantastic.
Okay. So I'm going to take some questions from some of our listeners, and one of them is around the expectations, which you've just touched on. And if you will indulge us, and you will also just include sensory play here as well. There's someone who's asking, but how do we change the perceptions though? Because from the time we were young, touch has always been paired with sexuality and expectations about what should come next. So how do we become comfortable with touching without an expectation of being sexual?
Fantastic question, because that is exactly it. I feel in society for so many decades of our sexual education, it has been, it has been around performance. It's been around, the typical in a heterosexual situation, it's penetration, it's penis and vagina, ejaculation, the end. And often that is the model in which we see sex. So really there is a significant amount of re-scripting that is required for us to redefine what sex means to us. And I know we've spoken about this on here before, where it's really identifying what sex means to you and what expectations look like for you. Obviously, I always encourage people to drop expectation, because with expectation can come disappointment. So it's really about experiencing the journey, not the destination, focusing on what your experience is in your pleasure and in your intimacy, and really removing the end result as the main goal, the main focus. It's just about the journey and communication. You know, Clement, we speak about communication every single time that I bring it up. It's essential. So managing expectations, knowing that you are re-scripting it with your partner. It is letting them know what the boundaries are. What is on the table? What's on the menu? What is this? So by communicating what your boundaries are and communicating what is on the menu, what is available and what isn't, you're already setting that good, solid boundary and container to experience the pleasure that you are seeking, the intimacy that you are desiring.
Yeah. And I'd like to know from the listeners, how comfortable are you with touching your partner's body without being sexual? Is that something you've tried before, or both of you touching each other and being intimate without thinking about penetrative sex, without thinking about the end goal, which in that case would be, oh, we're going to orgasm. Have you tried that? Because some of you on the WhatsApp line are saying, thank you for this. There's one person here who says, thank you for discussing that. Relationships these days are all about penetration and orgasms. What are couples missing out on when they are constantly focusing on the end result and on this one way of doing sex, you know, which is in most cases penetrative sex? What are they missing out on as couples?
Oh my goodness. They are missing out on the Narnia of pleasure. Like, this is where the pleasure is at. It's in the journey. It's in the exploration. It's in the body discovery. It's in the sensations, which obviously then brings us to, which I know you wanted to talk about, the sensory play. It is really discovering what feels good to you, what is pleasurable to you. If you don't know what is pleasurable to you, how do you create your roadmap to show your partner what you do want, what is pleasurable for you? For a lot of people, it's repetitive. I know you said in the beginning of the segment, it's the same, you know, you go to the same place, you have the same type of sex in the same position with the same results. No one wants to eat the same meal every day for the rest of their life. That will get boring, right? That gets stagnant. Therefore, your desire drops. So change up your menu. Change up what that looks like. Change the positions. Change the location. Change the timing. Change the type of sex you're having. And really broaden your repertoire on what you can put on your menu that intimacy looks like. So for some people, the joy is also in removing penetration to build the anticipation of the connection. Now, I know we've moved away from sensate focus, so just to be clear that these are two very different things, but it's really about redefining what intimacy looks like to you. What is on your menu?
Yeah, that's incredible. And then should you, so for couples perhaps who want to try even this sensory play, should they say, whenever they start getting intimate, that, hey, babe, all I want us to do now is to just not focus on the orgasm, not focus on let's just have a moment where we connect with each other and we're having pleasure in this journey without being obsessed about the end result. Should you stipulate that from the beginning, you know, so that it's pretty clear what you want to explore, so that that's not interrupted by the other party not understanding exactly where you are going with this, and they're like, okay, let's do this, I'm ready for penetrative sex. So should that communication be there? And doesn't it kill the spontaneity of the moment and the flexibility of the moment when you are being clear about, okay, let's do this and this is how I want us to do it?
What a fantastic question, because, you know, the thing is, I'm always pro communication pre, right? Because then you get to both know what you're going in for. And I think we, again, have this model and ideal that we are supposed to have this Mr. and Mrs. Smith smash against the wall, rip each other's clothes off, spontaneous, drop down, get it down, you know, passion-filled experience. It looks different every time, right? Anyone who has had any version of intimacy and sex, whether it be with one partner or multiple, it looks different every single time. You might be in the mindset to have really slow, sensual, soft intimacy. You might be in the mindset to have, you know, a slamming jam and really, you know, get wild with it. Whatever it might be for you in that moment. It's about expressing to each other what you're feeling for. So what are you into? What is this? What do you want tonight? And it doesn't have to kill the mood. If anything, it can amplify the mood, because if you've communicated clearly what you want, then you're going to be delivered exactly what you want. It's like, again, bringing it back to the analogy of food. If you go to a restaurant and you order the main, you order the meal that you're asking for, you're going to get it. If you don't, then you're just going to get whatever you get. So you can't really be disappointed in that sense, because we didn't communicate. Communication is essential. If you want your pleasure needs to be met, you have to indicate to your partner. They are not mind readers, unfortunately. And whoever comes up with mind reading technology, by all means, they're going to be multi-billionaires, because we all have this assumption that our partners, we're just meant to be in synergy, right? Soulmates. We're supposed to just know. You must know what kind of thing I'm into. You must know what I want. How did you not read my silent body language cues? But we're focused on ourselves. So your partner is also focused on what they want out of it. So it can be done in super simple ways of not killing the mood, not creating an argument. It's just, hey, babe, you know, what's on the menu tonight? What are you feeling for?
What do you feel like? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take the latest Now Witness News headline.
Relationship Talk on 702.
With Clement and the experts.
So the focus on our relationship and sex feature this morning is on Sensate Focus Therapy. And Nu Davidson, who's our guest this morning, sex educator and couples intimacy coach, has done a great work in helping us understand what Sensate Focus Therapy is. But we're also talking about sensory play. And I want to know what your experiences are. Let's go to Khosi, who's calling us from Hyde Park. Khosi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead. What's your experience?
I'm actually for this topic because I think it actually can help couples to, you know, rekindle and rebuild their love story again. For example, this is what I've learned also from this book I'm reading, or I've read, 11 Minutes by Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist. Yeah. This is a funny story about a Brazilian girl, right? She's a prostitute, but then you learn so much from her. You learn that just touching and knowing your partner's contours, learn your partner's body. There is no rush in sex. Anyway, sex must be sacred. But here you learn a lot about, you know, how you can move beyond the meeting of bodies to a meeting of minds or even souls. So if couples could learn to do this, I think, okay, I'm pretty much sure it's going to work, because I tried myself. I do it with my relationship, and the bond is amazing.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible. So it increases that connection between you and your partner.
Definitely does, because think of it this way. Most people are not even comfortable with their naked bodies, let alone looking at yourself in a mirror, by yourself in the bathroom.
True. Yeah. What's the name of the book again, Khosi?
11 Minutes.
By Paulo Coelho.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to check it out. The last time I read Paulo Coelho was Veronica Decides to Die, which was an incredible book. The Alchemist as well. I'm going to try this one. Have you checked out the book, Anu?
No, I haven't. I've just written it down, though. Thank you, Khosi, for sharing that with us. I'm excited to give it a look.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to give it a try. Smanga, you are in Walkerville. Good morning. Hello, Smanga. Ooh, I don't know what's happening, Smanga. Let me put Smanga back to the producers so that they can try and get him on a better line where I can hear him. In the meantime, let's go to some of the WhatsApp messages that have come through. One says, this is such an interesting conversation. Couples need to learn more about the importance of mindful touching. Another person says, hey, Clement, I had a tendency with my ex-boyfriends, mostly when I was driving, I would brush their thighs or put my hand in their trousers and touch the ding-ding, but with no intention of being intimate. So that's anonymous, yeah, new?
I love that. I love that. I mean, please keep safe on the roads.
Yeah.
make sure safety first, please, everyone. Safety first. Just be mindful of that.
Interesting one. Okay, let's go back to Smanga in Walkerville. Smanga, hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for getting me into the show. Yeah. So what I was saying was, yesterday I tried to speak to my husband about this. I guess it's something that I've always been trying to talk to him about, that can we be intimate and touch each other without, you know, having the end goal in mind, like without having sex. And I was saying to him, when we start touching each other, all that comes into your mind is just it's penetration, it's sex. Can we just be intimate and touch each other and, you know, not getting into that? And what I also want to know is, how do you tell someone without getting them offended or without putting them off, in terms of their mind thinking of the end goal in mind? So this is really a topic that is close to my heart. And I was thinking that we could learn quite a lot from this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that and for sharing your experience, Smanga. New Smanga wants to know, how do you even start that conversation with someone?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for calling in, Smanga. That's a great question. And, you know, with bringing up any topic around, you know, intimacy, it can be quite a hard conversation to have. So I don't want to, you know, just be like, oh, communication, it's easy. It's not. It takes work. But making it an I statement, making it about yourself, removes it from being an opportunity for defensiveness, right? If we come to our partners who are goal orientated and we're like, let's take the goal away, because all you do is look at the goal, they immediately get defensive because they're like, oh, well, I'm not doing it right. And that's what I want. And it can leave opportunity for defensiveness and an argument. However, approaching it from an I statement. So I heard this thing on the radio and it was super interesting. I was wondering, I'm quite keen to try it. What do you think? Are you interested in trying it? Get curious and get interested in asking your partner from an I statement, this is important to me. I would really like to try this. I heard about it. Sounds super interesting. Are you up for the challenge? Or what are your thoughts? So if you're not making it, you know, first it's an I statement. So just to solidify my rambling there, it's an I statement. I am looking at this. I heard about this. I would like to try this. It's about me asking. And then second to that, it's also getting curious with your partner. What do they think about it? So we're not telling them, we're not demanding it from them. We're just saying, what do you think? Would you give it a try? What are your thoughts on it? Therefore opening a bigger conversation. If they say, ah, no, that sounds stupid, I only want to go for the goal, then that's an interesting conversation. Oh, that's interesting. But what about all this? I heard that it can do so much in the journey of pleasure and can amplify that experience. And maybe it can, you know, make that goal all that more enjoyable to reach when you finally get there, if you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Smanga in Walkerville, thank you for that and good luck. New, just going back a little to sensate focus, can it help with treating arousal disorders? That's a question from one of our listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So any sexual dysfunction or sexual disconnect, that is, it is a fantastic practice that can be used. And is a great technique that can be used. For anyone looking for any resource, I did my studying on this particular topic through an incredible person, Dr. Catriona Beauford, who is one of our country's leading sexologists. She's phenomenal. So check out Catriona Beauford as well as mysexualhealth.co.za. They are a fantastic platform with a host of professionals that can guide and offer the service that one requires. We have all been trained in this from My Sexual Health team. And there's incredible resources available there. So if you are looking for that and you are experiencing any sexual dysfunction or sexual disconnect and looking for some resources, My Sexual Health is a great place to start.
And then another listener says, I have sexual performance anxiety. Is this therapy, is this therapy something that could help?
Absolutely. So exactly what I was just saying, this technique was really designed for this. So for any, and the reason why it works, let me just reframe that why it works so well is because with sexual performance anxiety, it's about the performance. It's about, again, reaching a certain expectation. Sensate focus re-scripts that. It takes out the expectation. It takes out the performance. It takes out the goal-orientated demand. Of when you go into an intimate interaction, there is a demand for a result. Sensate focus has no demand. There is no required result to it. So it re-scripts that for you. It definitely can assist with that. That was part of the premise of its design.
Okay. And then is this something that do you need to speak to the therapist first, or is this something that you can read up on as a couple and just take it up?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of resource out there on this. Obviously, as referenced before, this was created by Masters and Johnsons through the 1950s to 1990, if I'm not mistaken. So looking up Masters and Johnsons, they have a great deal of their very, very profound work available that you can go and research. As well as, I mean, if you type in sensate focus, there really is a plethora of options to go and dig into if you really do want to look at it from a more cost-effective perspective to do your research on it. I obviously do recommend seeing and consulting to a professional because if there is a sexual dysfunction, there might be something bigger at play and you want to address those, you want to address those things with a professional if you have that resource available to you.
Okay, let's take another WhatsApp message here. One listener says, hi, Clement and New and the listeners, please keep me anonymous. However, this conversation makes me think of the song Kiss You All Over, go over into also Touch You All Over. And then this listener says, kissing and touching is so explorative and yet at the same time very satisfactory. One is able to discover what really tricks your intimacy, retaining a healthy yearning for your own partner alone. Yeah, your reflections on that?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. It's fantastic to explore with your partner and to really find that opportunity to redefine your intimacy. For some reason, it made me think of a good scene from. This is with regards, if I have heard this correctly, was with sensory play more than sensate focus. Correct?
Yeah.
So just to redefine what sensory play is. Obviously, we've covered what sensate focus is, which is more therapeutic practice. Sensory play is about really exploring one's bodies with the sensations and sensories that we have. So some cool techniques that one can use is, popping some earphones into your ears, listening to some good music, therefore amplifying your other sensories, right? So when you drop one sense, all the others are heightened. So now if you take out your hearing, as an example, and then you take out your eye, your eyesight, right? So you blindfold yourself, you put earphones in. Mm. Now all of a sudden your senses of touch, taste, and smell become really heightened, therefore creating an even more amplified sensory experience. playing with different textures and touches. You don't know where your partner is going to be, where they're going to touch you, with what they're going to touch you. You can communicate on, oh, I like that there, or, oh, you know, use that feather. Oh, that's too ticklish, or whatever that might be. And then you play with different textures and temperatures and all within that experience, right?
Mm.
If you're playing with food for obviously taste sensation, please be mindful of communicating what foods are going in and that it is obviously done in a safe manner, that, you know, that there is just light food on the lips to begin with. And a great way of referencing what sensory play is, I don't know if you've ever seen 40 Days and 40 Nights, that old movie.
Mm-mm, haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So go check out. It's like a, I'm pretty sure it was an early 2000s movie. Obviously there's a lot of, not so good things in there at, you know, when you look at it now, from a PC perspective. However, there is a beautiful scene toward the end whereby, there is an individual and they do absolutely no penetration whatsoever, but he takes an orchid flower and runs the orchid flower over her body and doesn't even touch her body with the orchid flower. But the anticipation of nearly being touched and then gently being touched with that orchid flower it's so beautiful.
Wow.
And that is really sensory play. It's re-changing what your intimacy journey can look like. And it really can look so different and can look whatever you want it to look like within your relationship, obviously consensually.
Mm. Are there any misconceptions about sensate focus therapy?
Misconceptions in what form? I'm not sure I understand the question with regards to sensate focus.
So someone asked me on Twitter, is there anything that they need to worry about when it comes to this sensate focus therapy? So I imagine that maybe there are some misconceptions that people have about therapy, this kind of therapy. I mean, I haven't read anything that's really been bad or indicating to that regard.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say with everything, obviously, it needs to first and foremost always be consensual. Second to that, it's, you know, with sensate focus, if you are someone who is experiencing a sexual dysfunction or a sexual disconnect, that is something to be mindful of, because that is a fragile, vulnerable space to be in.
Mm.
So to err with caution and to ensure that there are boundaries around how long you do it for, when you do it, the time frame and the setting that you do it in, and also being able to eradicate and hold that space of not making it a sexual experience. Very, very different to sensory play. So just to say one more time, sensate focus is very different to sensory play. Sensory play is sensual, tapping into your senses. That is a completely different experience to sensate focus practice, which is a therapeutic desensitization practice that helps drop you back into your senses with absolutely no obligation to have pleasure, no goal orientation, no demand of expectation whatsoever.
Yeah, here's a message.
So knowing the difference between that and not overlapping them is essential.
Yeah. A message that's come through. Clement, my partner doesn't like me playing with her before penetration. She prefers going for it than playing around before, and it's a strain. I've tried many things with her. She doesn't like almost everything you guys are talking about now. And I know what you're going to say, new, communicate it to the partner, right?
Yeah, it's communication and also curiosity. Curiosity is as important, right? Because we want to get curious with our partners as to why. What does that look like for that person? Why? Mm. We're all very unique individuals. We all have different flavors, different tastes.
Mm.
There is something out there for everyone. And in saying that, there is also stuff out there that doesn't suit everyone. So accepting that and being compassionate to that is obviously key. But get curious as to what does that menu look like? And if that individual wanted to broaden the repertoire of their intimacy, I encourage them a sex menu. So write out different, each of you individually, write out different fantasies or different desires of what you'd like to experience, and then you trade them and then you put them together and say, is it on a yes, no, maybe list? Maybe we do overlap on a few desires, and maybe we'll come to it at some point, or there's some hard no's.
Mm.
It's great conversation starter to just open that door.
Mm.
Get curious. What does your partner want? What does it look like for them? What do they like? Yeah. If you want to meet your partner's needs and desires, you have to get curious into asking them why. Investigate. Mm. What is it for them?
Mm.
And what is it for yourself?
Yeah.
Good morning, Clement. Great show. I always listen to your show. I just want to ask, when I had a girlfriend, or my ex-girlfriend, when we used to travel, she used to touch me on my neck, and then just in my back, and while I'm driving, and just touching me. But it, as you guys said, it wasn't any arousal, but the way she touched me, it just exploded. It's funny enough, it actually relaxes me while I was driving, and I got so used to that. So being with a new partner is actually a thing to teach them. So I just like to know, is it also part of exploring, just by touching and while you're driving, and to know your body? Thank you. Great show.
Yes, Lou.
Again, the driving. Guys, please be safe on the roads. We are not bringing the bedroom to the road. Just to be very clear, safety first, always. But yes, to that listener, thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. That is exactly it. It's exploring what does work for you, what is nice, what does feel good and pleasurable. And it does not have to be sexual. It is sensual. It is what feels good for you. It can be a cuddle on the couch. It can be a light kiss on the back of the neck. It can just be running your hand down one spine, pinching a bum consensually. It's whatever that is for you. It's building the intimacy.
Mm.
That is what intimacy is. It's a spectrum. It's not just one thing. It doesn't fit one box, not one model. It is whatever you want it to be, what feels good for you, what feels intimate to you.
Yeah. New Davidson, thank you so much for making time. Always lovely to have you help us understand these matters. New Davidson is a sex educator and couples intimacy coach.